arm's length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Talk the first hour about financial issues, hence the name Cortland Economics Report. But as you guys know, we really delve into political issues also. And I'm going to start out this hour with a fellow by the name of Jeffrey Burr. Jeff is the Vice President of Government Affairs at the Associated Builders and Contractors in their national office back in Washington, D.C. He was a political appointee under the Bush administration. This guy really knows his way around around government issues. And going to get some advice from him. Jeff, first of all, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Al.
Tell us a little bit about your background, would you?
Oh, well, I have been with ABC now for, or back with ABC for my second stint for about 2 years now. Before that, as you said, I was a political appointee in the Bush administration. I served as Deputy Assistant Secretary for Congressional Affairs at the Department of Labor. So I was kind of the liaison between the Department of Labor and Congress for a couple of years there. So that that was an interesting experience, obviously, trying to navigate that that situation.
There are a myriad of topics we could discuss, but the one I want to focus on for this particular segment is I want to talk a little bit about what's going on with the current administration and the labor market. You know, I applaud President Obama for his enthusiasm. I applaud President Obama for his, you know, for his ability to draw people together. I don't, however, agree with a lot of his policies. You know, I'm a real free market guy, Jeff, and I think that many of his policies are really, really going in the direction of taking the United States in a very socialistic, to a very socialistic arena. And I see that happening with unions. What are your comments on that?
I definitely agree with you. I think that a lot of times this administration seems to say one thing and do another, and there was a great deal of talk about transparency and the rejection of special interests is kind of a focus of his campaign, and that didn't really play out. We're seeing a lot of special interest handouts, particularly to unions. And in the construction industry, it's particularly troubling because 85% of our nation's construction industry is non-union.
Yeah.
They choose not to be represented by a union, yet this administration continually looks for every opportunity to give special interest handouts to unions. And in the construction industry right now, the unemployment rate is 27.1%, which is the highest of any industry sector. So I just cannot imagine how they would justify limiting competition in a market like that.
Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I guess the obvious question is this a payback for the financial support, or what's it all about?
You'd have to think so. I mean, they did spend, depending on what article you read, the labor unions contributed somewhere between $300 and $500 million. To the president's campaign. So one would think this is a political payback, and there are a myriad of different things going on, especially that relate specifically to construction that we're following, the issue of project labor agreements that I think your listeners have heard about before. Mm-hmm. And there's some new regulatory kind of inside baseball type of things going on, something called high road contracting that's particularly nefarious that we're watching. So there's some really scary things going on there. To make these kind of underhanded special interest handouts back to labor unions.
You know, it bothers me when politicians do that. It bothers me a lot. And I know that it's not, I know that the current administration isn't unique in doing this. It's been going on for years and years. But, you know, given the unemployment rate, as you said, in the construction industry, and given the, for lack of better terms, the weak nature of our economy, you know, I blame a lot of the economic malfunctions on unions, Jeff. And, you know, the example that pops to mind right now would have to be the automobile industry. I mean, largest company in the world, General Motors, now owned by the U.S. government for all practical purposes. And I think a lot, I mean, I know there were some management missteps. You know, it would be, you know, very, very wrong to say that they did everything right. But again, by the same token, some of the union demands that were met by GM were just absolutely insane. Took us right out of the scope of being competitive.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that it's hard to argue that the diminishing market share that the unions have is anything but a referendum on their successes and on the way that they treat their employees. At the same time, ABC, our group, Associated Builders and Contractors, is not anti-union. We just think, we believe that there should be no regard given one way or the other with regard to union affiliation.
Yeah.
Just award contracts to the lowest responsible bidder without regard for union affiliation. And so we're not an anti-union group, but we think that both workers and construction consumers should have the ability to make that choice for themselves.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. You know, it's I am not a union guy. When I was an undergraduate at the University of Washington studying economics, you know, we had to part of the curriculum was a couple of courses in the history of labor unions, and there was a time when labor unions were incredibly necessary. I don't think that's here anymore.
There are a great deal of protections, especially at the federal government level, but also at the state level for workers these days. And some of the things that went on that really necessitated the development of unions are no longer there. And I think, if anything, we're starting to trend in the other direction, where our bureaucracy is almost becoming paralyzing. This thing I referenced earlier, this high road contracting scheme that we're hearing about to the Department of Labor, is a proposal that where the administration would implement widespread changes in federal procurement in order to favor unions and say that if you're a contractor and you don't pay union wages and benefits, then you'll receive a low score as a possible bidder on a federal project, and then that score will be used to rule you out of the process. It's essentially a backdoor way into setting a federal wage for private construction projects. And it's stuff like that's really scary. It harkens back to some things that they attempted to give a handout to labor unions under the Clinton era that we referred to as blacklisting, where they tried to kind of scare people into certain behaviors in order for them to be eligible for federal contracts.
Jeff, let me ask you a question. Am I way off base when I make the following statement, okay? Much of our industry has gone, or much of U.S. manufacturing has gone overseas, okay, and that has been very, very detrimental to the U.S. economy. Now, let's talk about, we talked about automobiles, let's talk about clothing. If you buy clothing in the United States, made in the United States today, for example, shoes, you're going to pay an awful lot of money for that particular article. Again, whether you're talking about shoes, whether you're talking about men's suits, whatever, okay. You're going to pay much more money for that particular article of clothing than if you buy an article of clothing that is produced overseas. Now, I think the same is true certainly in the electronics industry, which is totally non-existent in the United States today. And I could go on and on and on giving other examples. But my question is it an ignorant statement on my part when I say I think a lot of the reason that American manufacturing, a large percentage of American manufacturing went overseas, was to escape the throes of the labor unions?
I certainly think that we don't have a business-friendly climate when it comes to things like that, and that climate is continuing to trend in a non-business-friendly direction. And it's disincentivizing manufacturing things in this country. You know, one of the things that we point to as really hurting the construction industry is this ongoing cloud of uncertainty that's hanging over the entire business community. Everybody's sitting in their office waiting to see what's the next mandate coming down the road, if it's going to be a healthcare mandate, if it's going to be a new tax.
Sure.
And it's paralyzing to business owners, and they don't choose to build a new facility. They don't choose to hire new workers or reinvest in their business because they don't know what's coming, and they don't know what their bottom line is going to be in the next year. And that really speaks to the point that you're making, that we've created this environment and this climate that encourages people to go elsewhere to do business.
Amazing to me, you know, because people complain, you know, and whether you're a union guy or a non-union guy, people complain about, you know, they complain about the quote-unquote damn Republicans who have ruined our economy, et cetera, and, you know, our economy began being ruined long before George W. Bush Jr., you know, George W. Bush, you know, it started to happen a long time ago. I mean, you know, tell me how many people were interested in going out and purchasing a 70s, 80s, or 90s American car, you know, as opposed to going out and getting a Lexus or a BMW or a Mercedes or what have you. And I would have to say not very many. So, there are a lot of people at fault when it comes to where our economy is today. But, you know, I got to tell you, I think to a large extent, labor unions are part of that group of people who really took the wrong tack years ago in terms of the direction of the U.S. economy. Anyway, I've been chatting with Jeffrey Burr, Vice President of Government Affairs at Associated Builders and Contractors. Look for Jeff to be on the show more often than not in the future. He's a very, very well-versed guy in this area, and I appreciate having him on. Big Al's going to be right back.
Hi. Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Did you rob Bill Gates? DidYouRobBillGates.com is a worldwide internet system that can bring you both immediate cash and long-term passive residual income, earning thousands of U.S. dollars every single week. This automated system works for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, around the planet without inventory, shipping, billing, selling, or credit stress. Powerful and effective, our co-op marketing program works for us, and now it can work for you as well. DidYouRobBillGates.com is your global system for real success. Time to enjoy your life. Time to enjoy your family, travel, sports, fun. Bring the perks back to your life. Moms and dads worldwide, even those with zero experience, all plug in and watch in amazement as DidYouRobBillGates.com delivers success and abundance to their lives. Now, no matter where on earth you live, get to DidYouRobBillGates.com right now. www.DidYouRobBillGates.com. www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
RFID chips are becoming more and more common. Right now, there are hundreds of millions of new credit cards and passports that contain these tiny radios. How can you keep them from transmitting your information? Turn them off with ID Stronghold. Secure wallets and secure sleeves from ID Stronghold will block these radio signals. Visit IDStronghold.com or call 800-610-2770. That's 800-610-2770. IDStronghold.com. Protect your information.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the Political Hour on the Corlin Economics Report. I am Al Corlin. You got to admit, Jeff is a pretty interesting guy, and I think that his views on unionism, you know, this is coming from a guy who's been involved in that arena for an awfully long time, and I think that they're really worth considering, whether you agree or disagree. Okay, I'm chatting with two of my friends who I do another radio show with, Clyde Harrison and Steve Carr. We do the Economics Report on the Business Radio Network, which airs live on Saturdays on the East Coast from 2 to 3 o'clock. Talk about well-informed. These guys are the epitome. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Al.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about our views on the Middle East. You know, Peter Grandich and I discussed the, we both feel strongly that the market hasn't factored in potential huge conflict in the Middle East, and I would agree with that, but I want to talk a little bit with you guys about what's going on over there. You know, front and center in all the news media right now, they haven't let this thing go in terms of Vice President Biden's trip over there when Netanyahu announced that they were going to go ahead and continue building the housing over there, and a lot of people are saying this is a terrible thing. Some people are saying this is a good thing. I mean, what do you guys think? Steve, you're pretty well informed on this. What's your opinion on that?
My understanding now is that the settlements that they're talking about building have already been approved by the existing accord between the Palestinians and the Israelis. It's like having a building permit and finally taking out a shovel and putting a spade in the ground. So why this all of a sudden has become a political hot button, I don't understand. This is something that was negotiated some time ago. I think from my standpoint, Al, you know, one of the things that I'm concerned about is the whole issue of foreign aid, you know, from the United States. I love that we're a very giving people. I love that we step forward, whether it's an earthquake in Turkey or Haiti or a situation in Palestine or Israel. I guess the issue that I have, Al, is that I'm not sure that we should be extracting forcefully from people their tax dollars to support some government bureaucrats' convictions. For example, I'm concerned about the million Sudanese who are in slavery as we talk. Many 8-year-old, 9-year-old girls are sexual slaves to, slave owners over there. Who's talking about them? Who's concerned about them? Why aren't they just as important now for our tax dollars being sent their way as a Haitian child who has just, you know, had the devastating earthquake? I don't think that's really what we should be doing with our tax dollars.
Well, I think you would agree with Congressman Ron Paul, when he says it's time for the U.S. to stick to its own knitting and not try to be all things to all people. You know, and Ron is he's a very compassionate guy, and he's not saying this out of malice or really much of anything else. I think personally, in terms of the Middle East, my humble opinion is I think we should let those folks sort it out themselves. Clyde, what do you think? I mean, am I nuts?
No, you're not nuts. My feeling is that Israel will not let this calendar year go by without doing something about Iran.
Yeah.
Which will change gasoline prices quite dramatically.
Yeah.
When I look at the overall view, in the last century, we switched from having a defense department to an offense department.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the defense budget, about 90% of it is for offense. This is not what the founders had in mind.
Definitely not.
If anybody reads the Constitution, we don't need an offense department. Secondly, I've always believed that in this century, no one in the State Department was ever allowed to get on a plane with the Constitution in their pocket. We backed some of the snottiest, most terrible people in the world as long as they were willing to cooperate with us.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Saddam Hussein was our buddy for years.
Yeah.
We gave him a lot of the military weapons that he shot at our soldiers with 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
We got fools running a shop up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to agree. I am, I don't know. I think trying to be the world's policeman or the world's benefactor is really, really the wrong thing to do. You know, John Bolton wrote an editorial that was in the Wall Street Journal this past week, and he said he feels that the United States needs to maintain a strong force, you know, be the strongest force in the world and do what they have to do. And I have to tell you, I don't buy that, you know. And I hope you guys still talk to me having said that. Well, I know you will, but I don't buy that at all.
Well, now let me bring up something else if I could, okay?
Yeah,
because here's another problem. Isn't it interesting that none of the major networks, even cable news, nobody's talking about 1 million people, Al, in slavery in the Sudan? I mean, who's deciding who's important and who's not important? And then what's the payback? Because are we reporting the news or are we determining the news? And then what are the strings attached with that? So that if all of a sudden you have a certain group of people, the media, who are determining what's important, who's to cover on the news, then the lobbying dollars and so forth that get tied behind that, and I don't think the average person listening to this show right now gets the importance of that, Alan Clyde, because it's all interwoven and it's incestuous, and it can further lead to inappropriate power by those that we choose to help and those we strategically choose to not help. That's scary to me.
I would agree with that. You know, it's we have some. You know, you have to ask yourself the question when you're talking about the Middle East, who's right, or is anybody 100% right over there? I don't think either side is 100% right. Now, I have a lot of friends who are pro-Arab, and I have a lot of friends who are pro-Israel. And interestingly enough, my Israeli friends who live in the U.S. pretty much are saying there is fault on both sides, whereas I have yet to meet someone who is pro-Arab who says anything other than it's entirely the fault of Israel. I mean, this is a no-win situation over there, guys.
Well, I'll give you another take on this. If you take a look at the defense budget, that's roughly what we borrow from China every year.
Yeah.
So we're borrowing our chance to be the world policeman. If anybody thinks this is a long-term plan, they don't expect to live very long.
You know, I have to agree 100%. Hey, listen, I want to leave this segment with Steve. Real quick, give out the website for Alliance, would you? And we'll talk about Alliance later on in the show. Give out the website, would you?
I sure will, Al. It's AllianceInvestmentGroup.com, Alliance Investment Group. And you know what, Al? While people are on it, sign up for the $25,000 free gold and silver giveaway.
There you go. Listen, take a look at that website. I think you'll find it to be interesting. Big Al's going to be right back with Kevin Kerr. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
The mighty Roman soldier was given a daily ration of fermented fish oil. The stoic Scandinavian Viking had a drum of fermenting cod livers outside the door of his home. And Grandma always had cod liver oil in the cupboard. Today, Green Pasture Products, a family-owned business, provides high-quality, nutrient-dense cod and other fish liver oils made in the same way they've been made throughout history prior to 1850, through fermentation. Cold-fermented cod liver oil from Green Pasture is rich in vitamins A, D, E, K, omega-3, omega-9s, and more. But no man-made nutrients, only what the fish provides. Green Pasture's products are clean, independently tested for impurities, made in the USA, and come in capsules or liquids. Receive a 20% discount off your first order at greenpasture.org and be sure to enter coupon code radio at checkout. Hurry, 20% discount only good for a limited time. Call 402-858-4818. That's 402-858-4818 or go to greenpasture.org today.
Why is drinking pure high alkaline pH water the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Because alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using AlkaVision pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to an alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
I love gardening. What I don't love to see is deer and rabbits destroy my beautiful plants.
Why let your garden be destroyed? Plant Skin Repellent protects your garden, trees, and landscaping from wildlife damage. Made in the USA from 100% organic environment and pet-friendly ingredients, Plant Skin is the number one, most tested, most effective, and longest-lasting deer and rabbit repellent you can buy. It lasts up to 6 months over winter and 3 to 4 months during the active spring-summer growing season. Unlike other repellents, Plant Skin will not wash off in the rain and is guaranteed to outlast and outperform all other repellents. Plant Skin is OMRI-listed organic and is proven effective protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents. That's why Plant Skin is used by leading forest companies, nurseries, and conservation agencies, and is member-tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Locate a dealer nearest you at PlantSkid.com. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed, or your money back. Go to PlantSkid.com. That's Plant, SKYDD.com today.
How would you like to own
two of the best pair of gloves in the world
for $19.95?
Shipping and handling, and get two pairs for free.
MaxFit makes your hands go wow. MaxFit makes your hands go wow.
For only $19.95, you can own four pairs of the famous MaxFit gloves.
Call right now at 877-552-5206.
Wow!
Whether you're working in your garden, moving furniture, how would you like to improve that golf swing?
MaxFit has thousands of uses.
It helps the grip arthritic hands.
It even helps me play my video games better.
Wow. From the moment you slip your hand into a MaxFit glove, you'll experience the ultimate in grip, comfort, dexterity, and health.
MaxFit.
For more information on the next generation of thin glove technology,
go to MaxFitGloves.com
and use the promo code radio.
Call right now at 877-552-5206.
Wow. MaxFit makes your hands go.
Wow.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the second hour, the political hour, for lack of better terms, of the Cortland Economics Report, heard on all these Genesis radio stations. I'm Al Cortland, chatting right now with Kevin Kerr. Kevin is a very, very interesting player in the financial community, but we're going to bend his ear a little bit about, or I should say extract information from him, regarding with the business climate in the United States as it exists under the new administration, just to get his ideas. You know, under President Bush, truly had free markets, in my opinion, and some things happened. I think some predatory capitalism didn't come out of the Bush administration, but really surfaced their ugly heads primarily during President Bush's administration. I mean, these are events that began to occur a long, long time ago. But, you know, in terms of government regulation, there really was very, very little up until President Obama took office. And now he is attempting a total makeover of the financial community in the United States. Kevin, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, absolutely. You know, we've seen a completely pivotal shift from when Bush left office and through the Obama administration of just, you know, complete command and control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the Dodd announcements coming out now, there's, you know, all these new regulations and all, you know, again, it's just piled on one after the other. And,
yep,
of course, all the regulators being changed and all the new rules and regulations and everything else that's coming out. It's really, you know, and coming at a time when business is already struggling.
Yeah.
Of course. It's just, you know, I'm not a big believer in government involvement in business. I think free enterprise and, you know, free economies work a lot better than command and control and government socialism, which is what we're really facing now.
Mm-hmm.
On many levels. So it's an overall negative as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, obviously there are some things that need to be changed.
Oh, I agree.
So we're not against regulation altogether. It's just, you know, the pendulum has swung so far to the other side that, it's just obscene, really.
You know, I agree 100%. You know, it's interesting. I'm assuming you do the same thing. I start my day typically with the Wall Street Journal. You know, I'll spend an hour or more reading the journal every day. And the thing that's going on right now that I find to be absolutely appalling is this medical issue and the fact that I cannot understand, Kevin, how it can be deficit neutral. I do not believe that it can be deficit neutral. And yet, Speaker Pelosi is saying, we don't care if the majority of the country is against it. It doesn't matter. They're wrong. You know, we're going to push it through by hook or by crook. I'm thinking by crook, man. You know, I totally support helping people who need help, but I don't support this new medical system that the Democrats are trying to push through, because I think it's going to be an absolutely one of the most detrimental things that's happened to our economy in a long time.
Well, I have to agree with you 100%. You know, I mean, look, there is a serious problem in this country with healthcare. We've known that. You know, this has been tried before. This is nothing new.
No.
And it is being shoveled down the throat of most Americans and most American employers and individuals. And even those who really need the care that, you know, had hoped for this plan to work. And basically we're being told, well, we're going to tell you later what you're going to get.
Right.
You know, we aren't going to tell you now. We're going to tell you later what you're going to get. But it's, you know, it's going to be deficit neutral. I mean, I tell my daughter a bedtime story each night, and, you know, it always ends with happy ever after. You know, that's kind of what they're saying. And let's be serious. I mean, this program is not going to be deficit neutral. The government has had a medical care plan in place, Medicare, for years. Mm-hmm. It's failed miserably. It underserves the people that, you know, it's supposed to. Social Security is another one. So why do we think that another government-run program, certainly as big as health care for the entire country, is going to do any better? It's absurd. You know, there needs to be change. Again, like we talked about earlier about the regulatory situation, but this is just another drastic, you know, I see a big black hole and a lot of money going into something that isn't going to function or help anybody. Well, it may help on some levels, but it may hurt worse. The cure could be worse than the disease.
I agree 100%. I mean, I don't think there's anything anymore that you can say about that. The cure is definitely going to be worse in this case than the disease. Let's take another subject, and this is something. Let's pick a little bit on George Bush, okay? During the Bush administration, Glass-Steagall was repealed. Okay, I thought that was a mistake. What do you think?
I do. I think there were many mistakes made, especially towards the end of the Bush era, you know, as his popularity dropped as well. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of these things were put into motion, and it's been in his administration. You know, a lot of these bailouts of these companies, the too big to fail kind of attitude, mm-hmm. that was under the Bush administration. A lot of these things were started. So I don't think you can lay all the blame at all at the Obama doorstep. It's just been kind of escalated, you know, from that starting point. To where we are now and where it ends. And like you said, you know, Speaker Pelosi can say whatever she wants. The reason we have elections in this country every 4 years or every 6 years or depending on their job is to get rid of those people.
Sure.
So, you know, that we have to exercise that right. And I think even a lot of the people who voted these people in, I did not, I will admit that, are looking at this and saying, you know, I have second thoughts now, you know, and they can remove these people. And that's their right.
I think the 2010 elections are going to be perhaps, they're not going to be more interesting than the 08 elections, because that was an absolute watershed. And by the way, along those elections, I want to suggest a book that I have just finished reading it's an incredibly well-written, interesting book, and it's called Game Change. And Game Change basically outlines what happened during the 08 election. But I think the 2010 election is going to be fascinating, because I think you're going to see a host of Democrats get voted out.
I agree. I think you're going to see big change is what was talked about during the 08 election. I think you see big change again, even from people like me. Now, I would consider myself more middle of the road, independent.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to be more conservative fiscally. I tend to be more liberal. I would like to see a health. I wish there was a healthcare system that we could have nationwide that would help everyone, that was cost-effective, cost-neutral.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, as you know, my wife is from a country that does have national health care, Estonia,
mm-hmm.
and her mother actually is a doctor, and I know how that operates, and it does. Everybody does get care, but there are some caveats there, you know. And so there's, you know, the system can work on some levels, but you know these issues are not easy, and I don't think the American people want them shoved down their throat. It hasn't been debated, it hasn't been transparent, and I think everybody knows that it isn't deficit neutral, and we've got some serious economic problems already. So this just seems just totally irresponsible.
Kevin, let me ask you one last question here. Get your opinion on this. We've got about 2 minutes here, but we talked in the first segment of this hour a little bit about unionism. I stressed the fact that I thought that when unions, in the early days, I thought they were incredibly valuable. There was some really significant abuse going on in the labor market, oftentimes on the part of employers.
Sure.
Unions today, in my opinion, and particularly, what's happening under the current administration, I think that unions are also very detrimental to our economy right now. You think I'm nuts?
No, I don't. Of course, you know, a large segment of the population belongs to unions, whether by choice or by have to.
Sure.
Of course, at one time in this country, they were absolutely vital to get workers' rights. We're talking about industries that were not, people were being taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. They were very important to growing the country and getting in, the industrial side of the nation functioning.
Sure.
But at this point, I agree. They're the problem with GM.
Yeah,
and the average worker and the cost per worker
makes
us completely uncompetitive.
Oh, I agree 100%. I would have to say that I know there was a part that there were some, for lack of better terms, mistakes made by management. Let's bring GM to the front here. But there were also some really, really serious mistakes in terms of the size of the demands on the parts of unions. And I think that that's very, very sad. Take 20 seconds. Tell the folks a little bit about what you do. Will you, Kev?
I sure will. We have a couple newsletters. We have a great website with lots of free information as well on all the commodities and resources and our travels. And there's a blog there and lots of video. It's kerrtrade.com, kerrtrade.com. We'd love to have you stop by and take a look.
Kevin, thanks for your time. Looking forward to having you back on the show in the future.
For men who want intimacy and pleasure back in their life, it's not a question of if, but when. So Ben, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 1-877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity stability and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. I'm Roger Mason, research chemist and developer of the all-natural supplement Beta Prostate, and I want you to know about a free bottle giveaway. Beta Prostate helps your body support good prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and even intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay a small shipping and handling fee. Make the call today and get your free bottle.
To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-257-7201. One free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraine, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the last segment of the two-hour version of the Cornell Economics Report, heard on all of these Genesis radio stations. You know, we talked currencies earlier with Jeff, and I wanted to bring in another friend of mine, a gentleman who I've known for probably half a dozen or so years now, Axel Merck. Axel is really, really an authority, not to say that Jeff isn't, but Axel has been involved in the currency trading, etc., for quite some time now. He's a very bright man. He's a regular guest on Fox, CNBC, and Bloomberg, and, you know, and other shows, in addition to helping us out on our show occasionally, which we appreciate. And I want to get his views as to what's going on. But Axel, before we talk about the U.S. dollar, and I want to talk about that a little bit, I want to talk about your latest Merck commentary entitled Eurozone Needs Markets, Not Bailouts. Can you elaborate a little bit for my listeners?
Well, sure, hi Al. Good to be with you. Well, everybody is thinking about how can we bail out Greece, what can we do to help them and so forth. And it reminds me very much of the peak of the financial crisis, where we had the former Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson, who was just running from crisis to crisis. And also, if you read his book, there was no strategy to all of this. It was just trying to survive to the next day. And the real problem in Greece is, just as we had in the subprime problem in the U.S., it's not that the interest rates are too high now. It's that the interest rates were too low last decade, and they were able to get away with all this fiscal irresponsibility. And it's now that the markets are stepping in, imposing some discipline on Greece by hiking up the cost of their debt, and so that they can spend less. And of course, the Greek don't like it. Now, what I've argued is that rather than thinking about the bailout first, we got to clear up some communication channels in Europe. There is no central finance ministry, and it, de facto all the pressure is on the European Central Bank to try to fix things. But that's a central bank's role is not to fix the budgets of countries. They're supposed to be focusing on monetary policy, and so there needs to be more coordination so that it doesn't look like all the politicians are running around like headless chicken as they are.
Do you see that ever happening?
The headless chicken or the...
No. The former. The former.
We do see the headless chicken, but, well, there is actually the Eurozone does have, it's called the European Commission on Economic and Monetary Affairs, that is supposed to be the watchdog. And indeed, just this week, that commission has come out and stepped up to the plate. I actually met Trichet last week at Stanford. He was speaking there. I spoke to him afterwards a little bit, and I asked him, isn't it detrimental to the European Central Bank in the long run if all this political pressure comes on the ECB? Because if the European Central Bank has all this pressure, they can't focus on their job of monetary policy. Mm-hmm. And he absolutely agreed. It says it is not up to the European Central Bank to worry about the fiscal deficits. Of course, they want them to contain the deficits, but it's not the role of the European Central Bank to police that. That is a political question. It's an ugly political process, and that's why you have politicians, so you can get upset at the politicians. Now, having said that, one reason why we are far more optimistic on the Eurozone than many, and you may be surprised I say that after all this introduction, is that at least the Europeans are trying to get the deficits under control. In the U.S., we have no mechanism. The best mechanism we can have in the U.S. is that there's gridlock in Congress. But other than that, there is no mechanism in the U.S. to try to contain spending. It doesn't matter whether you're on the left or the right. They all want to spend too much. In the Eurozone, at least there's a mechanism. It's a very messy one. And so what we are saying is that the pressure that is on the euro right now is mostly noise. But as far as the structure of the euro is concerned, we are far more optimistic on the structure of the euro. We don't think that there's a real threat of a contagion, mostly because if you look at Spain, for example, that's in the news, they don't have a debt problem. Spain has one of the lowest debt ratios of any major country. They have an unemployment problem, and they have a housing bust. And so the issues are very different in different countries. We are far more concerned about the United Kingdom than we are about the Eurozone. But the Eurozone gets all the attention right now. At some point, the market is going to get bored of the Eurozone looking at that and is going to look for the next crisis. And who knows whether that's the UK, the US, Japan, or somewhere else in the world. There are plenty of candidates.
I would agree with that. Now, let's take a natural progression here, and let's talk about, we've got a fairly strong U.S. dollar right now. The U.S. dollar really is kind of hanging in there on the index at around 80, you know, plus or minus a few, I don't want to say a few points, let's say a few basis points, perhaps, is a better way to put it. You are suggesting that the strength in the U.S. dollar, which a lot of my colleagues are saying is a result of what's going on in Europe, you're saying no. As a matter of fact, we have more faith in the euro than we do in the U.S. dollar. And then you went on to say, obviously, that's based on the fact that at least they have a system in place to reduce deficits, which we don't. Where do you see the U.S. dollar going here in the, let's say, mid to long term?
Well, I mean, to expand on what you say, I don't think we have a Greek problem. I don't think we have an Irish problem. I think we have a sovereign debt problem that's a global one. Everybody in the world spent too much money.
Right.
And similarly, we're not going to fix these things overnight. Just look at California. Look at Illinois. In deep, deep trouble, even if they receive the bailout from Washington, that's not going to resolve these problems. These are long, grinding processes, and they're not like light switches that you can change these things.
Mm.
And so just structurally in the U.S., it's far easier to spend money to patch up the problem. And when that happens, you spend this money, you're increasing the amount of money that's around. Well, that reduces the value of what you have. That reduces the value of the dollar in this case. Ben Bernanke, the head of the Federal Reserve, has testified in Congress and said on multiple occasions that the countries that went off the gold standard during the Great Depression recovered faster from the Great Depression. Think about it. If I take away half of your net worth by eroding your purchasing power or otherwise, you have an incentive to work harder. It works. It's not very fair. It's not exactly the mandate of the Federal Reserve. But the flip side of that is that when you don't do that, when you do what's happening in the Eurozone, when you're trying to actually fix your problems by reducing deficits, even if you're not very successful at that, that means that you're printing less money, your currency ought to be stronger at the end of the day on the backdrop of possibly lousy economic growth. And that is one of the reasons why we're far more optimistic on the euro and less optimistic about the U.S. dollar. People always think that you need to have economic growth to have a strong currency. That applies in the case of the U.S. or a country like Australia that has a current account deficit. When you need to finance your deficits from abroad, you need to have economic growth to attract money. But look at Japan, for example. Lousy economic growth for many years, yet a fairly strong currency. Similarly, the eurozone. They, at least so far, are financing their deficits domestically, and as a result, they're not as prone to shocks from economic growth. And you can have a very strong currency just because people are saving more and not printing as much money.
Isn't that a good point? And isn't that a point that I think is overlooked by a lot of our politicians? Axel, you know, you got a couple of minutes here, and I want to get your views on something that on the surface may not appear to be related, but let me tell you, I definitely think it's very, very related. You live down in California. Nancy Pelosi probably lives about 40 miles north of where you're sitting right now, if I'm not mistaken. You know, how can the government, you talk about spending money, how can the administration say and expect people to believe that the proposed health care plan is deficit neutral? No sense. No sense.
I don't know whether you'd like me to answer that. I'd like to, without getting too political, maybe I can comment from a currency point of view, if we can draw it over to that topic. Odds are quite high that something is going to pass, but at the same time, odds are also that there will be a major backlash in Congress as a result. So what may happen in the midterm election is that we're going to be with a situation where the tax hikes that are part of this agreement are going to take place, but on the flip side, that Congress may not be funding the health care bill. And so you may end up with a gridlock on the back row of slightly higher taxes. And so how this is evolving isn't sure to say. But if that happens, if indeed we are forcing people to save more and we're not going to spend all this money because of a gridlock in Congress, well, that may even be a positive for the dollar. But to answer your question more directly, of course, that's nonsense. When you are giving people the opportunity to, without judging whether it's a right or wrong thing to do, but when you're giving people the opportunity to get health care with pre-existing conditions, that means you wait till you get sick, then you sign up for health care and you're going to get the treatment, of course that's going to explode your health care costs. And so there are many provisions in there where you're encouraging more and more spending, and it's absolute nonsense to think that it wouldn't. And so, but that's just one of the many issues that's going to face us as far as exploding deficits are concerned. And right now, many people maybe hope that the political process will achieve this gridlock so that we're not going to spend all this crazy money, but I wouldn't count on that.
I wouldn't count on it either. Got about 20 seconds here. Real quick, tell our listeners about your fund, will you?
Sure. We have three currency mutual funds, and we write a newsletter. Go to our website, merkfunds.com. That's merkfunds.com. Sign up to our newsletter and learn more about what we do.
Okay, there you go. Axel Merk, very knowledgeable guy. Appreciate his time. Thanks, Axel.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN program. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local stations and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.